So presentation goals. I'd like to show that the combination of AJAX and JSF, whatever vendor you're choosing, is a great way to go for building enterprise applications. I want to show one concrete way of using those two things together, and some new content that I just added, because I've given this presentation before, is one concrete way of testing AJAX plus JSF applications. But as it turns out, this testing methodology that I'm going to show doesn't apply just to JSF. It's any old AJAX application at all. Finally, I would like you to leave the presentation having some understanding of how to evaluate an AJAX plus JSF solution for yourself. We find ourselves in a similar position to what we were in before JSF was started in 2001. And that is, at that time, we had a lot of different web frameworks out there that were competing for being the web framework of the day. And the idea with JSF was to get the best ideas of all those frameworks and put them into the JCP standard. Now, as it turns out, you know, we're 6 years down the line here, and there's still a lot of other web frameworks out there. But JSF has gained and grown market traction, both in terms of number of sites using it, in terms of vendors providing tools and components for it. And so with AJAX, there are a lot of different vendors providing JSF and AJAX solutions. The panel discussion this afternoon at 2:30, we're going to have Steve Marika from IceSoft, and he has a very nice JSF and AJAX solution. I'll be representing Sun. We have the one that I'm going to talk about today. And there's a number of others, and I'll list them on a slide. But anyhow, I want to give you some knowledge so that you can look at these different solutions and say, which one is right for me? What are the attributes that it has? Do they match to my requirements for my enterprise? Now, enterprise grade, that's a loaded term, so let me define what I mean by it. Something that's robust, scalable, well-tested, and industry-proven. It's been around, and it's been proven by deployed use. JSF has fit that bill, because it is deployed in a lot of production sites, and there's a lot of support for it, as I mentioned. Another dimension of enterprise grade is that it has to be easy to use, easy to develop, and also easy to test. The importance of test-driven development is something that I really am fond of, and when I was leading the team to develop the reference implementation for JSF, we did everything with a test-driven development approach, and that's been really valuable going forward. Also, the enterprise-grade tools must be appropriate to the developer skill set you have. That plays to the hiring market. What kind of talent are you able to hire? Are they skilled enough to use this tool? Are there tools available that fit their skill set? And also, the last point that I want to make is this good concept scalability. Oops, wrong one. Laser pointer, there it is. Concept scalability, as your problem space grows, you need to have sufficient abstractions so that your solutions that are addressing those problems can also grow. And JSF being a component-based solution with a lot of extension points, a lot of support for abstraction and componentization is good for that concept scalability. That's what I mean by enterprise grade. What I mean by AJAX, I'll just read it out here, in a web application using asynchronous transactions to the server to dynamically update the appearance and behavior of the view shown in the browser. This is a somewhat constrained definition of AJAX. If you talk to IceSoft, they have this AJAX push thing, which uses various techniques to send content from the browser asynchronously as well. And there's this programming practice known as Comet, which also is very useful when combined with AJAX. And I don't have any of that in these slides, but Comet is a technology to definitely watch in combination with AJAX and also with JSF. Okay, so here's after the goals. This is our agenda. Why use JSF and AJAX together? Well, I want to put out there my notion of web application musts. These are things you just have to have in the application, regardless of using AJAX or not. Different approaches for using the two together. Some content on the design heritage of JSF that makes it appropriate for doing AJAX development, and also the features that make it appropriate. And then a survey of some problems and solutions. One solution to those problems is Project Dynamic Faces and MCP, which is a very early access sort of alpha grade technology that I've worked on at Mozilla.org to do automated testing of AJAX applications, and I'll have a little demo of that. And there is a screencast on the server side today that just went up about it. Oh, I see. Yeah, there's an extra button I didn't know about. All web applications must have. This is just to be a member of the crowd, you have to have these things. Motherhood and Apple Pie. You need to have data conversion and validation. You need to have a mechanism for specifying page flow. You need to have database integration. Also, you can put in that category a persistence story, preferably one that leverages off-the-shelf persistence technologies like JPA or Hibernate. You need to have the alphabet soup, internationalization, localization, accessibility. This last one has been a thorn in the side of AJAX applications since they first started. You know, AJAX naysayers were saying, oh, well, you know, you won't be able to sell any AJAX application to the government because of Section 508. And you know, there's a lot of truth to that. But you know, be that as it may, web applications have to have accessibility. When you're authoring the pages, you need to support the lingua franca of web development, CSS, and markup-based layout. It needs to be testable, both at a unit and system and application level. And lastly, user-friendliness, all up and down the chain, from the developer to the tester to the end user. Now, different approaches for using JSF and AJAX together listed in order of decreasing complexity. And I have put the red traffic light signal, but this laser pointer needs a new battery, right there to indicate caution. These are pros and cons, and the traffic light, red light, says this is a con. So the first way to do it is just naked AJAX. You're going to do it all yourself. There's a book by Frank Zometti that he coined the term naked AJAX. And that means, you know, you're not using any framework, you're writing it all yourself. And if you do this, the pro is you'll gain a very deep understanding of AJAX techniques. You'll probably be so employable that you'll be hired by someone, and you know, if that's what you're looking for, great. You also will have to handle all of the XML HTTP request interactions yourself, and that requires, you know, the basics of JavaScript closures, the set timeout function, a lot of arcana that most people don't want to deal with. Then you'll have to handle the cross-browser quirks, which brings legendary pain to the web developers for years. And by the time you're done, you'll end up writing a framework anyway. The next level up, you can use a JavaScript framework. There are many of such things, Dojo, DWR, Prototype, which there's a talk being given today. It might even be right now. But using those frameworks, you still have to handle the web app musts, and you have to, if you're using one of those frameworks such as Dojo with JSF, you gotta write the intervening layer yourself. Now, another level down the step, and actually towards an easier to use solution, is to use JSF with an AJAX extension project. As I mentioned, there are many. One of them I'll talk about today is this Project Dynamic Faces. And with these solutions, generally, you don't have to have any JavaScript knowledge to use it. They oftentimes hide the JavaScript programming for you, so you can just use the solution and program to the regular JSF API, and it does the AJAX for you. The Dynamic Faces version also allows you to, it exposes the JavaScript layer if you want to use it, so you can do more powerful stuff. And currently, as far as I know, this is the only JSF plus AJAX solution that correctly handles what I call context-sensitive AJAX component interaction, because it takes advantage of JSF 1.2. We'll see one of the demos where if you have tabular data, you want AJAX transactions to happen on an individual cell of that table. And when you're doing those AJAX transactions, there is a whole bunch of state that's present when the page is rendering that must be restored in order for that cell to be modified. Because a data table really is just a window on a data set, and a data table is really a single row stamp that is repeated for the number of rows that you want to display. And that iteration context is only existing during the rendering phase. Well, you need to have some way when you're posting back, if you want to update just this cell in just this row, you need to have the data table set itself so that the row is as expected. And JSF 1.2 has some new features to enable that, thanks to one of our expert group members, Jacob Hukum, who is also the author of Facelets. The red flag for the dynamic faces thing is currently it's only implemented with JSF 1.2 because of that feature I just mentioned. And it's very immature. It's bundled in this new SunWeb developer pack, but it's still a 0.1 version, and it's not as widely tested as the other AJAX solutions that are out there that you've probably heard about at the conference. The next level down in ease of development is using AJAX-enabled JSF components. With this one, it's a regular JSF component. The fact that it does AJAX is hidden from you. The component may have phase listeners or filters or other kinds of configuration schemes to handle the AJAX transactions, but you don't have to deal with it at all. There are some nice components available. There are quite a few that are available for JSF 1.1. Some are open source, some are for pay, but there's a very good sized market for that. There's a website, jsfcentral.com, run by another expert group member, Keto Mann, that has a very good component gallery where you can go to find the state of the market for JSF components. The downside is if you can't find a JSF component off the shelf that does what you need, then you'll have to write one for yourself, and one option is to use this Dynafaces project. So the big question that comes up in my mind when I started to think about AJAX was, is this really different from any of the common web application UI practices enough that it warrants a completely different approach for doing things? Well, in my opinion, no, it does not. This will come up in the panel discussion. There is the dojo way, where you have a lot of view logic residing in the client, and you're just making lightweight, perhaps restful calls to the server side, and that's where your AJAX is. And then there's the GWT approach, where you're compiling all your stuff to JavaScript, and it also runs in the client, and there's some kind of RMI-like mechanism to call back and forth to the server. That's what GWT provides. So that's one side of the fence. The other side is you still are authoring your components using server-side markup, using server-side-based authoring tools, and that markup is rendered in the server and then sent to the client as the rendered markup. And there is some UI state that's kept on the server in those solutions. And I still think there's a lot of currency to those approaches, both in terms of the maturity of that approach, its widespread tool support, and also the maintainability. By keeping a lot of the UI logic on the server, you gain, in my opinion, a leg up in maintainability. So one possible answer to that question, use JSF to provide the web app musts, and then you provide some extra usage contract on top of it to enable AJAX support. This is what a JSF AJAX extension does. And here's a list of some of them. Dynamic Faces, Ice Faces, AJAX for JSF, which now is partnering with JBoss to be Rich Faces. There's AJAX Anywhere, Backbase, JackB also has one. Anyhow, jsfmatrix.net is a website I found that has a comparison of these and other solutions. The good answer is we have the JCP process. And all of these ideas, many of the principles of these technologies are on the JSF expert group, and we are going to be kicking that effort off. Can't say too much about it now, but we have the expert group working on the proposals, and that's what's happening there. So why combine these two from a design perspective? JSF has a heritage from Swing, and if you like that way of doing things, a component-based, object-oriented way of doing things, then you could say that the design of JSF was ready for AJAX before AJAX really started to take off. Some of the features that make it AJAX-friendly is a well-defined and extensible UI component model, a well-defined request processing lifecycle, which I feel is something that is useful even outside of JSF. To be able to have a layer on top of Servlet that manages the different phases of the lifecycle of a web request. something more than just request response. That is something that I think we're going to look at for JSF 2, enabling applications that use a more client-centric approach to still have requests that go through the JSF lifecycle, perhaps without having JSF components present, but there's still the need for validation and conversion and that sort of thing. Another feature is the flexible and extensible rendering model. By having this rendering concept separate from the semantics of a component, you can handle having render kits that are rich for JavaScript-based applications and render kits that are not, that are more HTML 401, and they can just sort of hide the complexity and enable you to have different versions of your website by swapping in different render kits. Another concept is the encapsulation, the ability to hide JavaScript from the page author but show it to the component author. And finally, a lot of the machinery in JSF is around state management, making it easy and transparent to keep the client and server state in sync. So these are some of the typical problems. Cross-browser differences, handle that by wrapping a JavaScript framework that already handles them. The localization and internationalization, that works for JSF and AJAX just as it does for JSF without AJAX. Shell remoting has a mechanism for doing script management and versioning, so you can have your JavaScript that go along with your components be served up out of the class path in a secure manner. If you find that you're in a situation where you're having too much XML HTTP request traffic back and forth to the server, then you can batch events with dynamic faces, or look for the ability to batch events and send them all at once. Using XML as the data transport requires extra finesse for some common HTML elements. For example, the entities, ampersand NBSP, that is an HTML entity. It's not an XML. So I don't know if you can consider this a Mozilla bug or not, but if the XML HTTP request has a response XML that contains an NBSP, the Mozilla browser XML parser will crack. It'll not work. It'll say this is not a valid entity. So you have to define that in some way. And having us make sure that sort of thing is handled by your AJAX plus JSF solution. These are just a few things to look for in a solution. So here's what, in my opinion, is a very good application of those techniques. Brings the power of AJAX to existing and future JSF-developed applications. We want to be able to AJAXify an application that was written already, and we want to be able to build new applications that go further. It's based on this avatar idea, again, from Jacob Hukum, and we demoed it at Java 1. I would like to think that the Project Dynamic Faces has a small footprint developer usage contract. Essentially, there's two JSP tags you need to know about and two JavaScript function calls that you need to know about. With that small footprint, you gain a big increase in AJAX capability. So here's the basic idea. Expose the JSF lifecycle to the browser via AJAX, and you want to allow operating on the entire view via AJAX or even just a part of it, updating just a single zone or component within that view over AJAX, or just refreshing the whole page over AJAX. You want to allow some level of control of the lifecycle via AJAX, and you want to allow the server to change appearance and behavior of the current page, bringing the concept of a dirty region, which is common to Swing or other native UI toolkit developers, that notion of, okay, this is a dirty region of the page, it needs to be repainted. Bringing that notion to a web application where you can just ask the server, okay, update the UI and send down only those elements that have changed due to some server-side event. So the importance of the lifecycle here. Very simple sequence diagram. You have the browser and the server. You make the initial request, comes back with a full page render, and then you have a number of partial responses to that page. And the first one, we're saying, I want you to re-render the price panel and the options panel, and then it responds with just those two markup segments. and then there's JavaScript in the client that knows how to do the DOM replacement. Or you could ask the server, just tell me what changed, and it'll send back whatever things have changed. So views and partial views. This is a little screenshot from the demo I'm going to show. I have two zones in this application. One is the price panel, one is the options panel. And the UI component view of these things looks like this. You have the price panel and the options panel, and each one has its own set of component children. To address that partial use case, partial update use case, there are a number of different approaches. Again, I'm listing them in increasing complexity. The page author can just use AJAX-enabled components, or they can use this AJAX zone tag to AJAXify regions of the page. You basically put them around the markup you want to be AJAXified, and then there are some attributes you can specify if you want, and then updates in that zone will happen over AJAX. And you can say, well, if I update this zone, I want these other two zones to update, and so forth. There's ways of wiring up the zones in the page so that they know about each other. From the component author's perspective, if you're writing a JSF component, you can use this provided JavaScript library in your custom components rendering, or you could even, this is a real advanced use case though, write your own JavaScript that talks directly to the HTTP protocol and the XML application defined by dynamic faces. That approach, I think, is pretty far out. So the zones, the easiest way to AJAXify an existing app, demarcate the zones, and action in one zone will cause reaction in another zone. So let's take a look at that demo. So here it is. So this is the very old, let me get rid of the navigation toolbar. Because they made me put the resolution down to 1024 by 768. That's a little better. So this is a localized JSF app. Let me just reload it to make sure my session hasn't expired. And we're going to choose this Roadster. And here we have the options panel. And whenever we make a change to any of the components, you know, there's an AJAX transaction that's happening to the server and I'm asking it to recalculate the page. So any of these components, regardless of what kind of widget they are, when you interact with them, they're going to make updates. Okay. This is some code snippets of what that looks like. These are, you define your zone one and your zone two, and one of the optional attributes on AJAX zone is the action attribute. So in this case, the the action there is essentially causing the zone to act like a button. So whenever any, the default is to click. Whenever there's a click event for any of the components inside, it will act like a JSF button was pressed and it will call the update pricing action. If you've been following JSF for a long time, this sample app used to have a recalculate button. And what we've done here is show how you can take away the recalculate button. And essentially, this does the same thing as the recalculate. It's a pretty simple example, but I think it gets the point across. These are some of the attributes. You know, the action attribute, the inspect element is a function you can define that will be called, and it will get passed in the element, and you can tell, return true or false, whether or not you want to AJAXify that. So if you have a zone, but there's a little part in the middle, or there's some kind of components in there that you don't want to AJAXify, you can write some JavaScript to do that. The event type tells you what kind of JavaScript event will cause the AJAX request to happen. By default, it's click, but you could have mouse over, mouse up, blur, whatever, anyone you want. The next level down is this fired AJAX transaction JavaScript function. This is one of those three defined in that built-in JavaScript library. And when called, it will cause this AJAX transaction to the face's server, and it has many options for customizing the transaction. So the demo here, which I'm not going to show, I'm going to show a different demo instead, has a data table. And on the data table, you have a regular old JSF command button. And in the markup, you have onClick equals Dynafaces fire AJAX transaction this. and that's all you need. And so when you click that button, this function will automatically return false, preventing the form from being submitted normally, and it will submit the form over AJAX and update the values accordingly. There are live demos of this on the website that I'm going to show you at the end if you want to see it running. So let's take a look at something, a similar demo to that. There is another Sun technology that's in the Sun Web Developer Pack called JMockey. Who here has heard of JMockey? Okay, good. It is the JMockey value proposition is it will wrap pretty much whatever JavaScript component library you have out there. There are bindings provided for Dojo and Scriptaculous and you know the major ones, Yahoo UI. And it exposes them as a JSP tag, and it also exposes them as a JSF component. And that's kind of nice because it's essentially making a JSF component library of an arbitrary JavaScript library by wrapping it. So I'm going to show two examples here with that. This is a scrollable result set with that per cell editing I was talking about. And this is also available in the live demo. You can move back and forth, and the scrolling through the result set happens via AJAX. And then within each cell, we're using the Scriptaculous in-place editor, and you can click on it and change things. Oops, I forgot my keyboard is set to Dvorak, so I'll just type some numbers. And then it updates it via AJAX. So let's take a look at the source of this. I hope this works. There we go. All right, so this is a regular data table with a bunch of columns. And in that customer name column, this is the JMockey tag, A colon AJAX. Now, it has a name attribute, which is kind of funny because normally in HTML, name is used for name anchor, or it's kind of similar to the ID attribute. But in JMockey, it means this is the name of the widget that I'm using. So from the Scriptaculous library, use the in-place widget and use this JSF EL expression, unified EL expression, as the value of that thing. So that's all that I needed to do. Well, I needed to include the tag lib, this right there, to do that AJAXification. Then the scrolling business. We have a panel group which contains this scroller. This is the blueprint scroller component that's been around for a long time. And I have a script, a page scoped script that executes, and it says it's using this prototype library just as an incidental convenience. Get all of the elements inside of this element that have a tag name equal to A, so give me all the hyperlinks. And for each one, call this install deferred AJAX transaction on it, saying when mouse down happens, fire the AJAX transaction. And when you're done, call this post replace function that I've defined elsewhere in a script. And I want you to re-render just the table. And well, no, the table and the subview that contains the scroller, because they both have changed. So these are, again, some of the options you can pass to the AJAX transaction. One that says, I want you to execute the lifecycle on these components. One that says, I want you to render the lifecycle on these components. And that set can be completely disjoint if you like. All right. And this is what it looks like there. Pretty simple. And the general form is you have this. This is the JavaScript. It's actually the HTML DOM element. There we go. For the markup, that's the actual JavaScript DOM element. And options is an optional argument. If present, it is a JavaScript associative array containing any options that are desired for this transaction. So these are some of the options there. Execute, as I said, is this comma-separated list of IDs to be traversed on the execute portion of the JSF lifecycle. Render is the same thing for the render portion of the lifecycle. Inputs is the list of client IDs for which a value should be sent in the AJAX request if not specified. All of the input components in the current form are submitted. So that enables you to customize and prune what form values you're going to submit. So getting around to testing these things, the need for testing AJAX applications has been around for a while, and I first felt it really acutely when we were doing the development for Sun Web Developer Pack. When trying to, concurrently develop JMockey, which Greg Murray was working on, and Dynamic Faces, which I was working on, I had some samples that were showing the two things working together, and it was very difficult to keep those samples running because JMockey was making continual changes and there was no automated regression test mechanism. So I really needed that, and these are some of the requirements I thought such a solution should implement. It needs to be, for us, it needs to be usable from the existing popular automated testing packages such as JUnit or TestNG. It needs to have a small and simple API, again, in the spirit of JUnit. It needs to allow writing tests that make assertions about the page content. It needs to allow writing tests that make assertions about the AJAX transactions. And it needs to allow testing apps that make extensive use of JavaScript. That, right there, that bullet point is the first one that you hit where really the existing solutions, except for Selenium, fall down. HTML unit and HTTP unit, which are two tests that fit the bill in some regard for these previous requirements, their JavaScript support, at least in the versions that I've tested and used, falls down pretty rapidly when your application uses a lot of JavaScript. Finally, the solution needs to run on all of the major platforms, because this being the web, we have a wide range of deployment options for the server and for the client, and we have to test all of that. So that's tough. One solution is this Mozilla Control Program, and it fits the bill for all of those things except for one, and that one can be fixed with your help since it's open source. It currently only works on Win32. It's built on top of the Mozilla Zool runner that corresponds to Firefox 1509, and there's a fair amount of native code involved, but all of it is built on top of XPCOM and the Netscape Portable Runtime Library. So the amount of platform-specific code to satisfy the final bullet on the previous page is actually pretty small. It's just a matter of getting some time or resources to do it. What MCP does is it exposes a Java API, but it wraps the native browser. And it is built on top of WebClient, which is a kind of older project that embeds Mozilla, and it was intended to embed an arbitrary Java browser. At one time, it worked with Internet Explorer. It would use the Internet Explorer ActiveX control underneath this Java API. But a lot of that code has suffered bit rot and hasn't been maintained. And so right now, it's just built on top of Firefox. So here's the demonstration of the MCP solution. Go over to NetBeans here. Is the font big enough for people to read in the back, to read the code? Yes? Okay, good. Okay, get rid of that. Actually, this is the project I don't even need to open right now. Close project. All right. Open recent. Web client. All right. So I'll just run the automated test first to see what it looks like when you run it. Example sources. This is a test that goes through the car demo application, those steps that I showed you before. run, run file, test car demo. So it's just going to pop up the browser window. And because of the resolution, I have to scroll it around. Hope it works. I haven't tested it at this resolution. OK, so that's the test. The test passed. What did it do? We saw that it brought up a window without any Chrome. That's the, you know, the surrounding stuff around it. It stepped through the application and did a bunch of stuff. Well, let's take a look at the source for that test case. Test packages, car demo test. All right, so this is a JUnit test. I'll make this big so we can see what's going on. The binary distribution for web client has a JUnit test case subclass called web client test case, but that is separate from the MCP. And in the setup method, we create a new instance of the thing. We need to tell it what is the browser bin directory. Given that this is native code, there's JNI involved. And I'm aware of the very excellent Java to XPCOM bridge done by Javier Pedmonte and used in the AJAX toolkit framework for doing their AJAX transaction support. Given that this code is based on the web client code that was written in 1999, it started out then, way before the Java XPCOM project existed, it hasn't migrated to that yet. In a future version, I'd like to replace as much as possible of my JNI code with the usage of the Java XPCOM bridge. But for now, in any case, you do need to tell the system where the browser bin directory is, and you need to put that browser bin directory on your path so that the system.load library calls that load the native libraries can happen successfully. All of this is done for you in terms of the build files that are in the distribution. So in the regular test car demo, we'll go ahead and set a breakpoint. And go back to this. And I'll go run, run file, debug car demo test. I think that's the right one. OK, so there our breakpoint has been hit. Get rid of this call stack. And I'll make this smaller so we can see what's going on. A lot of stuff to close here. All right. So we'll step over this line. See that the browser pops up. Then we have this bit set. It's a final bit set. I just use this as an easy way to have something that happens asynchronously, such as AJAX transactions, be tested after those transactions have completed. So I just have this bit set, and then I flip various bits from inside the listener. And I have an enum for each of the different things I want to test. Did you get the end AJAX event? Did you get the map that has the metadata for the request? Do you have valid response text, valid response XML? Is your ready state valid? Stop waiting. That's, we'll see what that is. So in the listener here, the first thing we're doing is assert that we have an event map passed to us. So there's this AJAX listener interface that's a part of MCP. It has methods called endAJAX, startAJAX, and errorAJAX. And those are called at the appropriate times for the AJAX transaction. And you're passed a map that has a bunch of entries. So you want to see that the map is non-null. You want to look at the response text element of the map. And because this is a white box test, necessarily so, you know what the XML response is going to be. So you want to make some assertions about that. You can either do it via response text, or you can also get the response XML as a DOM, and you can make assertions about that as well. You know, get the tag name, make sure that the tag name is as expected, make sure that it has the proper children that you're looking for. If you want, you can even use XPath or whatever you have to query through the document. Then at the end, I have this other test to make sure that the ready state is as expected, and then I flip this stop waiting bit. It turns out there's a loop that's waiting for that bit to be flipped because this is happening on multiple threads. All right, so let me go back and continue. I'll show you the rest of the test case before we continue. All right, good. So we have the MCP, we've popped up the browser window, we add the AJAX listener, we tell it to do a blocking load on this URL, which is the local URL running. Each element, you know, in the markup has an ID or a name, as I mentioned earlier, and those IDs are specific to the application. This is another thing that makes it a white box test. So this J underbar ID thing here, that's just, you know, a JSF artifact. It came from the fact that I didn't give a name to a component. You can change that if you like. You can manually give a name. Or in JSF 1.2, you can say form prepend ID equals false, and it won't prepend any IDs to the components that are inside the form. So what this does, it loads the page, it clicks the German language button. Because it's a blocking click element, it will wait for the request to complete, finally. You know, all of the images and scripts and whatever is in the page will load and be done. And then it will continue, and then you can just really easily traverse the application that way. It has a find element method, so I want to find zone 1. And inside of zone 1, I want to call the DOM method on the price panel, get the text content, do some regular expression matching. Say, okay, before I take any action on the thing, it's the base price is 15.7, the current price is 15.7. Then I'm going to clear the bit set ahead of clicking this checkbox. Again, another white box thing. I happen to know that clicking this checkbox, clicking this element rather, is an AJAX transaction. It will cause an AJAX transaction to happen. So therefore, I don't want to do blocking, because that's the whole point. But I do need to wait for the transaction to complete, so that's why I go into this sleep loop here, waiting for the bit set to be hit. So when the AJAX listener end AJAX is called, it flips that bit, the test continues, and then we test the assertions that were inside the bit set, and then I resample the price panel to see that it has changed after clicking the checkbox. And then at the end of the test case, I delete the browser control. So I'll just set the next breakpoint to here. Get rid of all these. And then we'll continue running. Click assertion. Okay, and then we hit the end and we delete the browser control and we exit the test and everything worked okay. So that's the demo of that. And that's currently like an alpha level release. There is a screencast I recorded that goes through this on the serverside.com site. It just went up thanks to Joseph and his team's Herculean efforts. So we'll go back to the slides. All right, so we're finishing up the important links here. The Sun Web Developer Pack can be had. That's the runtime that these demos are running in from this URL. The Dynamic Faces project, which is bundled in the pack if you want to go to the core website for the technology, which has Java docs and documentation for all the JavaScript functions, that's there. There are also live screencasts and slides. These slides will be on the presentation wiki from the conference, actually. Project JMaki has its own java.net project page. The Blueprints AJAX components, that's one of the component libraries I mentioned. And then the Mozilla control program there, you can see from mozilla.org. So we have future directions here. The Dynafaces project is open source under CDDL, and the work that we're doing in this project, as well as the other JSF AJAX extension efforts, will be harvested for JSF 2.0. And that is actually not true. JSF 2.0 JSR has not yet been filed, but it will be very soon. Here is our summary. 15 minutes to go. Very good. JSF plus AJAX makes perfect sense. If anyone tries to tell you otherwise, question them at least. The questions you need to ask yourself about this: how steep is the learning curve? Does it fit my existing model of doing things? Do I need to know JavaScript to be productive? How easy is it, you know, to do partial page update? That's kind of the bread and butter of AJAX and JSF. All right, so we have a lot of time for questions. Who has questions? Do we have microphones for the question people? Okay. Do we have any questions? Okay. Uh-huh.